206-261-9018 for questions and answers or comments, or you can email us at questions@bfgbc.org. All right, Romans 12, let's read verses 19 and 20 together, starting with verse 19. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If thee thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. All right, verse number 19.
Where are we?
And Romans 19, Romans 12, 19. 12, 19. Who's the dearly beloved you think that Paul is writing to here? And raise your hands if you have a comment so we can suck to Anna and then Ryan.
Believers in Rome.
Believers in Rome, right? Yes, and by extension to those believers and saved people, genuine Christians even today. So when he says, avenge not yourself, what does avenge mean, do you think? Any hands on that one? Yes, Tammy.
All right. Take revenge.
All right. Take revenge. That's avenging. Paying back somebody for something they've done. It says, don't do it. Stop it. But rather, what is to be done instead of taking vengeance? What should be done? Any hands on that one? What does the scripture say in verse 19? Yes, the Ryan.
But rather give place unto wrath.
Like what does it mean, give place?
Punishment.
To give place?
Go that way, I guess.
Anybody know what give place means?
Make room.
Anybody with a hands on that one? Yeah, Mike?
Make room.
Tammy?
For?
Make room. Tammy?
Allow. I mean, you have to give God the opportunity to work.
Give place unto wrath. In other words, it's going to come. Just understand it's going to come, and just don't be too disturbed about it. Just take it easy about it. I think that's probably what the meaning is. Give place thereunto evil. What would evil be defined as?
Wrath.
Or rescue the wrath. I'm sorry, wrath.
What you just said.
Yeah. Wrath. Yeah. What is God's wrath? And what is man's wrath? How would we define two different things? But what does wrath mean? Give place.
Anger
a bit. Strong anger. Yes, Tammy.
And James says the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God.
Yeah, that's very good. Now, there's two words for wrath. Orgeia is a real strong wrath, and the other is just anger. But this is strong, very heated, sometimes with emotional charging for this thing. Just give place. Just let it go. Now, what does it is written mean? What is the tense of it? And what does it mean in the Greek language? Any hands on that one? Yes, Pastor Dan.
Perfect.
Perfect tense. And what is the Greek word in the perfect? What is the Greek word for the perfect tense? Yeah, pani? Gegrata. Gegrata. Gegrata.
That's for what word?
That's for it is written. Gegrata. 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 That's for it is written. Gegrata. That's for grapho. Gegrata. Yes, gegrata. Bill?
And then does that mean it's already written in Scripture?
Well, that's part of it. Yeah, Ryan?
Is that like what I'm talking about, like right now? Would that be in that?
The word
grapho.
So
grapho means to write, but in the present tense it's write. So there's an imperfect tense in the past, but perfect tense, gegraptai, has got three senses. That's in the Greek language. Something has happened in the past, the results continue to the present, and on into the future. Future, present, future. Future,
past,
present, future. That's right. Future right now. So when God's words have been written in the past, results to the present.
Continuous.
Yeah, it continues. Past, in the present, and on in the future. See, all three tenses. That's God's Bible preservation for his Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words. A lot of those theologians and churches don't believe in God's preservation of the Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek. They say there's all sorts of errors and comments by the writers that are bad. So that's what it is. So it is written. Now, what is written in this verse 19 that we should pay attention to? What is written here? Yes, Tammy.
Vengeance is mine.
Okay. What does vengeance mean?
The repayment.
Repayment, but yes, right?
Payback.
Payback, yes. Strong payback. Vengeance.
Anger, doesn't it?
If you're strong anger, yes. And taking In other words, paying back somebody that's done very much evil, see. For instance, in the Canaanites, did they do any evil in their days, hundreds and hundreds of years? The Canaanites, they did. And God avenged himself of them. A lot of people say, well, that's bad of God because he has the Israelites go and take over the land. But God is punishing them. Now, what about the lake of fire in hell? Is vengeance in that involved with that? God's vengeance involved with that? Yes. Yes, Tammy.
I was thinking of the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full.
Yes. That's
but
it.
God's vengeance hadn't
come yet.
Peace.
So in other words, he's patient, and when it's full, then it's full, and he goes into action. Vengeance is mine. So to avenge, we shouldn't try to avenge. We should just let God do that. He's the avenger. The vengeance is mine. I will repay. He repay for evil. And sometimes is that always instantaneous repayment?
No.
A lot of times it's a long time. Weeks, months, years, maybe decades. But he is able to avenge those that are evil. I will repay. Is that good repay or bad repay?
Well, God's truth, so what he says is...
Was that good repay? Any hand on that? Yeah, Ryan, and then John.
I would say it was good, because it was coming from God, so it's righteous.
Okay. All right, then Ryan, then Tammy.
In a way, yeah, I totally agree with him, because what God says is true, and God can't lie, so when he says something's going to happen, it's going to happen.
Okay.
That's good.
It's not something you want to be the recipient
right.
of.
Exactly. Well, if somebody repays you, somebody repays you in silver or gold, that's a good thing. But somebody repays evil we've done to punishment, that's the other kind of repayments. And that's another, we don't want that kind of repayment. So, yes, Pat?
If you're going to do evil, you should not be surprised by it.
No, that's true. That's true.
Repayment
yeah.
in the same time.
That's right, yeah. And Ryan?
A lot of times, like I feel like, because from reading the Bible, God lets evil happen, and because he wants to show them that we need him. Without him, it's impossible to do righteous and do what's right. That so, it's not really God's letting the devil take over, because when we don't follow God, what then happens? You know, when he's not in control.
Yes, evil comes. I repay. And then, therefore, in verse 20. We've got something for believers, Christians, and your Christians do. Therefore, what does that therefore go back to, do you think, in the other verses? What concept? Yeah, Tammy?
Where it says in verse 18, as much as I in you live peaceably with all men.
All right.
And then, you know, you don't take vengeance for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So then, instead, therefore, when these things happen.
Yes, Anna?
And also give place
unto
wrath.
Give place unto wrath. And the therefore, in other words, we're not to do harm and pay enemies back that hurt us. God's going to avenge that. But therefore, then, what does it say in verse 20 that we should do with enemies who are hungry and thirsty?
Feed them and give them drink.
Now, that's not always easy, but that's just what God has said. Does anybody not have enemies? Does anyone not have it? So, different kinds of enemies, maybe. Some are more violent than others, but people who don't agree with us, they're in a sense, they're against what we believe, even though they don't shoot us or kill us or slap us around. But if that enemy, hunger. We had an instance just today. Someone called me in the middle of the night. I heard the ring. I didn't get up because I was sleeping, but I heard it ring. We don't have rings in the room, but you can hear it in other rooms all over the house. It was about, one was at 4 o'clock, one was at 5 o'clock. No, she didn't hear because her hearing is not as keen as mine. But around at 4 o'clock, one at 5 o'clock, and one as close, maybe 6 or 3 of them. I didn't go to the thing, but it was on my computer. At least two of the rings were on the computer, 4 and 5 o'clock. And I called the man. He said, well, his wife was T-balled, whatever, and out of a meal accident. She's in the hospital. He wants to go see her. She went through a light, which was green for her, but the other guy was rooting his emails up his foot, and he just went right through the red light, smashed her. What is it?
He was reading his email.
He was distracted, reading his email on his phone. So then he didn't see the red light. So she's in serious trouble, many broken bones, fingers, different things. So he wanted to go see her. So he wanted to go help him with a little bit of gas. And so he said he was here years ago. I don't remember exactly who he was, but what he was. But so Pastor Dan graciously took him to a gas station and gave him at least $30 and we helped him, see. I don't know whether he's an enemy or friend, but...
He gave $30 or $3?
No, 30 gallons. No, 30 gallons. Yeah,
put the gasoline.
Put the gasoline in the car.
Went to the gas station.
Went to the gas station, took care of the gas. So, but we don't know, whether enemy or friend or whatever, a lot of times people knock on the door. The man comes quite often. You remember, Dan, who that is. And one time he was here early when his little baby was born, and he said he had a baby and that he had diapers. So that's the first thing. Then 5 or 10 years later, or 5 years something later on, he came the same thing. My boy baby needs diapers, or whatever it was beyond whatever the time was. It was beyond when the baby would need diapers. He still always used that excuse.
Well,
I don't know.
Was
that? It could have been another baby. Pastor Dan, I don't know what he says to you, but anyway.
No diaper line.
Okay, no diaper line.
I told him your baby's grown up and isn't in diapers.
Yeah, my wife told the situation. Anyway.
I think he was over there shoveling snow for the church.
Yes, I believe so.
Did you see him?
Yeah, from time to time he does shovel. Yes, Ryan?
So many times people will come into church, you know, there's so many people going to churches today, and they're seeking something. And a lot of times, if they're not seeking the truth, and they'll be so happy in church, fellowshipping, hearing God's praises, singing to the Lord. But then, if they don't really hear the truth and accept Christ, 2 hours later, like, that can all leave them.
That's right.
And they must come to church. And if they don't hear Jesus and accept Jesus, then they're really not going to be satisfied or get what they are truly seeking.
Do all churches preach the Bible?
No.
Preach about the Lord Jesus Christ? No, they don't. Most of them. Either compromise with the preacher or preach nothing and against the scriptures and against the Savior. We had a man in our church recently who asked about the Lord Jesus Christ. Was he the creator of the world? And the man answered, no, he's not. He was created. He was created. It wasn't from all eternity, see? No, he's the creator. He was from all eternity past, eternity future. But so different groups and different people have different ideas, don't they? So what it says, if an enemy hunger, whatever this may be difficult for us, we can't feed all the enemies that hunger. We have a place across the street, the local church, every Tuesday and Thursday. They have free food and they come. And so we don't have that position, though, but if individually they come to us, well, we do our best to help them. If we don't have any food to feed them, of course we can't feed them. If we don't have anything to drink.
Anna,
what?
Give them a bag of bread.
Bag of bread, yes, right. That's where we got all this bread. I'm glad for John. He takes our bread and gives it to needy people.
Amen.
Which is great. Praise the Lord. Because it just stacks up. And I tell Pastor Dan, I said, boy, should maybe stop that? But John says, no, don't stop it. I said, you're going to keep coming? So he keeps it. Yes, he's going to keep coming as the Lord enables him.
What's the flavor this bread comes from? I don't bake.
Well, no. It's bread.
You
don't? It's bread that is given to a lot of churches. Then it's given to Bible Christian Church over here, and then whatever they don't need, they bring over here. And we don't know what to do with it except when John comes. Now, sometimes it's little, sometimes it's great, sometimes you don't bring anything.
I can take a lot, too, because like the church I was at, huge, one of the biggest food banks around,
was that right?
Fill abundance.
Yeah, a lot of food banks.
Acme, Target, Giant, we get so much.
So much, yes.
Yeah.
Which is nice, I'm glad for that. But so if an enemy hunger, if he thirst, give him food, give him drink. And what will that do for thine enemy in verse number 20?
He pulls the fire on their head.
Yes, in other words, they hate us, or enemies.
Soften them.
God gives a little bit of judgment on it. Yeah, Bill.
Well, one of the principles, since our Constitution was written up to defend the rights that were given to us by God, in this and here, we feed our prisoners. When they're arrested, they go to prison.
Right.
Or if you're in the military and you go to the stockade or the brig or whatever, they'll feed you while you're there. Mm-hmm. So it's not like we ignore people.
Right. Speaking of prisoners, I got an article, we'll give it out Sunday. Read it today, came in today, about the increase of prisoners all over this country. We have more percentage-wise in prisons than all the countries of any other country. And the reason for that is this. He pointed out very clearly. The prisoners have to work. And the people that work pay them. You know how much they pay them to work? How much an hour? 90 cents an hour. And these people that are behind all this, they want this because it's free. They work and work and work free, almost free. And these companies, there are about 15 companies that are mentioned that are part of this, wanting prisoners in there. They don't want to get them out. Bring them back in, see, so they get free labor and just do work for these companies.
But 90 cents an hour, it's not free.
Well, but it's almost free.
Almost.
Labor.
It's a cheap labor, yes, Ryan?
Yeah, somebody in prison today, why are they bringing the Bible into prison? Well, maybe if they brought the Bible into schools and prayers in the schools, a lot less happenings of evil and people ending up in prison, you know?
Yes.
But then they want to bring it into prison. Well, maybe if they brought it to schools and brought it to places so they don't get in there.
Could be.
Prison.
Yeah, Bill.
Well, a lot of people in prisons are in a desperate situation and they're beginning to face problems they've had all of their lives,
mm-hmm.
and now they're beginning to question their mortality. They're questioning a lot of things. But one of the best things we could possibly do is any non-believing senator or congressman, throw them in jail.
Some people deserve to be in jail, and they go continually free. You know that. Some break the law. Won't mention any names. We know a lot of them that way. But our church helps the prisoners who request to define King James Bible. And the people who are listening to us and helping us give to the ministry for that purpose so we can send it free and postpaid. We have 165 jails and prisons that request these. Over 29 different, prisons rather. We have 28 different jails and 165 prisons. And
Twenty-eight
different states and about 165 prisons, 95 prisons. Yes, yes. Pardon me?
I think on Sunday you made it countries, so they were states.
Should be states.
Sorry.
Okay, all right. Yes.
Sorry,
Brother Rick Vincent, I think he's out of Tabernacle.
Yes.
Gloucester. That guy's really good when it comes to that preaching and helping the people that are in prison. I'm not sure if you know who he is.
Yeah, I think I met him. I don't remember
he's
where.
He's very good.
He's moved.
Yeah.
He's moved to Florida now.
The Florida, is that right? Yeah, I remember. I met him one time. So, this is what we have to quote about.
He's the prison ministers. Yeah.
Prison ministers. He's the one that was wrapped up in the prison thing, his wife, on the internet. He sends, that's who it was, right? Pastor Dan?
Yeah.
And in verse 21.
Is that the one?
Yeah, that's the one. That's Rick Vincent. Yeah. Verse 21, what are we not to be? What are we not to be in verse 21?
Overcome of evil.
What does it mean to be overcome of evil? How do we define evil again? Yes, Tammy?
Be controlled by it.
All right, that's right. And defeated by it, and how do we find what evil is?
Word of God.
Does everybody agree what's evil, what's not evil?
No.
No, they don't agree with that. That's sad, but we must go by the standards of the Scripture, what evil is, what good is.
Yes.
Any other comments on verse chapter 12 before we move on to chapter 13? All right, let's read chapter 13, verses 1, 2, and 3 together. Now, there are seven verses here that talk about government.
Could you explain a little bit more of verse 21?
Don't be overcome. In other words, when evil comes around, don't be surrounded and just defeated by evil. Overcome. What should Christians do when we're around evil people? What should Christians do?
Get away,
flee. Separate ourselves from evil people. Otherwise, we're able to succumb to some of their evil thoughts and actions. So that's, don't be overcome. And Christians are many of them overcome. They go so long with evil people, all of a sudden they adopt their ways to fit the evil. It's a terrible thing. But you overcome evil with good. You just overcome it and fight with it by good. See, evil will either, if they don't change to good, they'll flee from us. They don't want anything to do with goodness. Anna?
Well, couldn't this also mean instead of, in responding, you're going to be overcome with hatred towards your enemies and responding in the same way, instead you go above that, and instead of having this hatred, you have a love for them.
That's right. And preach them good, the Bible, the gospel, so on. Try to lead them to Christ if they need Christ.
Faith for the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful.
They're deceitful, absolutely. All right, any other questions on chapter 12 before we move on to 13? All right, these first seven verses talk about government. And many people are completely off base on the definition. Let's begin reading verses 1, 2, and 3 together.
That every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God, the powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive for themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power to do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the saints?
Right, verse number one, every soul be subject. What does subject mean? Any hands on that one? Yes, Tammy.
Under their authority.
Now, subject unto whom? Who is this higher powers? How would we define the higher power? Pastor Dan.
Well, it's in the structure of the federal government type of power. Authority. Higher authority, XUC.
All right, but it says in the same verse, there's no power but of God. So what would the higher powers be in this country? Is that
the
ten?
Well, the highest power is of God. Mm-hmm. And he has leaders that he puts into place.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're all under his...
All right. That's what... Yes, John.
Yes, well, notice it says, because there is no power but of God. The powers that be were ordained of God. So it doesn't talk about our government structure. Mm-hmm. The God-ordained government.
Mm-hmm. All right, now we'll see what kind of government they ordained. Ones that misinterpret these verses are the ones that we should interpret correctly. In verse number 2, what does it say about someone who resists the power? What do they resist?
They resist God.
Now, ordinance of God. See, so a lot of people say this is human power. But if it's the ordinance of God, it's got to be God's ordinance, God's power. They got to be along the lines of God, what he believes, not what man thinks. Yeah, Tammy.
That reminds me of Acts 30 or 429b. This is, we have to obey God rather than men.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if the law contradicts God, then we have to obey God rather than men.
That's right. Very good. Okay. Very good. So, whosoever resisteth the power, now in verse 2, that the ordinance of God... In other words, they that resist God's ordinance, what's going to happen to them? In verse number 2. That's right.
Damnation,
that's right. Now, notice in verse 3, it defines rulers. Now, rulers we usually think of is what kind of people? Rulers normally we think of what kind of people? Yes.
Those who are in control.
Control, like the governors and presidents and different things like that, and mayors and... Kings. Now, what does the Bible teach, define, how does the Bible define rulers in verse 3? How does the Bible define those rulers? Tammy?
So they are not a terror to good works. In other words, they want to restrain evil, not to restrain good.
The presidents, like Obama or anyone else, or governors or mayors, who believe in murdering babies, is that a terror to
yes.
good works? It's
no,
a terror.
No.
It's a
no. Yeah.
See, now,
what
it's just...
Well, no, it's not a terror to evil works. It's a terror to good works.
Yes, it's a terror to good works. So, in other words, that's right. But it says rulers, biblical rulers, as defined here, are not a terror to good works. In other words, somebody does good works, they'll not be put in prison, see.
Right.
But what is the government seeking to do with Bible-believing Christians, at least when Obama was in power, I think it's changing now, but what did they want to do with people that preach the gospel, people that believe the Bible, and in schools and in the missionary agency, what was the plan?
Shut them up and lock them up.
Shut them up and lock them up, that's right. There was a resistance. President Trump is a different situation. He's given free religious liberty, which is fine, whatever it is. Yvonne?
When were Christians locked up?
No, they wanted the desire. That's what he was saying, the desire. Well, Obama, the government. There were, back when the other woman was Attorney General, don't remember her name,
Janet Reno.
She came out several years ago with a list of 72 different things that are terrorist situations. One of them was for the Constitution. You're a terrorist. Number two, if you're for against abortion, you're a terrorist. And number three, if you're Bible-believing Christian, evangelical, you're a terrorist. She defined 72 things. I found a list of the 72. I think I agree with maybe 25 or 30 or 40 of these 72 Song of Terrors. Now, they took that off the market after a while, but that's what they're after. See, they want to punish those that believe the Bible and stand for righteousness. Everybody that's against abortion, for example, they're terrorists, and all these things. So it says here that rulers, by defined by Scripture, are not a terror to good works. But what are they a terror of? What are they a terror for, verse number 3?
Evil works.
Evil. So by definition, just a minute here. I'll get back to my definition. I have Jacob or Rob. Yes, Rob. Okay, how you doing? Come in. Say hello.
Thank you. I hope everyone's good there tonight. Hello, everyone.
Yes.
Hello. I just wanted to correct you on those 72 points that are terrorists. It wasn't Janet Reno. It was more recently. It was Janet Napolitano who put on that with the Department of Homeland Security under Obama.
I see.
And it was Janet Napolitano. Our government is pushing the religion of Mystery Babylon. Our military has been infiltrated. It's a Jesuit system, and I think you can make a case that our government is now under the influence of the Jesuit system, the Mystery Babylon. But everything that they're doing, and they're certainly not a terror to evil works.
Chicago, Rob Winograd. Thank you, Rob. Appreciate those comments. Thank you for grabbing me we got the wrong Janet. Yeah. She was a Janet, but the wrong Janet. Okay. Don't remember exactly who it was, but I have that in my file. 72 things, got them right up. I know exactly all 72 of them right there in writing. All right, so what was I saying there? Rulers?
Terror? You're talking about the evil. They're a terror to the evil.
Terror to evil. That's right. Now, we think that, isn't it evil to murder?
Yes.
And if babies are still babies or anybody, it's evil.
Right?
So those that are in favor of murdering babies, they're evil. And we shouldn't have anything to do. We should be separated from those. The rules are a terror to evil. And I'm glad that President Trump is opposed to this murder of babies and abortion. I'm glad he's trying to get that organization up there to knock off the abortion part. What's the name of that organization? What is it? Planned Parenthood, yes. And they keep arguing back and forth. So, we do other things, they're right. Yeah, but okay, if you do other things, fine. Knock off the abortion. Anna.
I don't understand why they're called what they're called. I mean, if they're planning to be a parent, but they're not
the people that give abortions.
Instead of thinking through being a parent, they are careless, and then they're like, oh, I don't want to be a parent, so let me go to...
Yes, in other words, planning parenthood.
Yes.
If a woman says, I'm just going to plan, maybe one baby, but if I can't use prophylactics or other types of... I'll kill the baby that's there. That's planning.
Yes.
When you want to be a parent, plan parenthood. See, terrible, crazy, giant.
Yeah, parenthood is all about population control of the earth.
Yes, that's right. That's right. Kill them all.
Right. They've
got to kill millions. They've got to come in so that the universal government can control. Universal government control. And that's why a lot of things are happening. That's why a lot of foods are being poisoned with GMO and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
Those foods and a lot of different things. A lot of prescription drugs and so on are killing people. Different things. But one of the definitions of rulers, the rulers of the Bible are not a terror to good works. But what are they a terror to?
Evil
works. So I think it's evil. And then, what should it be afraid of in verse 3?
Evil
What should Christians be afraid of? Yes, Ryan.
The power.
Right? The power.
Not afraid.
Of terror or the power. In other words, the things that do evil, thou shalt not be afraid of the power. For they, but what do you do with that which is good? Is it good or bad for the?
You should
praise. To do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. Now,
so what was the answer there?
Well, for good rulers, we thank them or do what they do. If they're for good, we follow them.
Yes.
If they're for evil, we don't follow them.
Right.
So that's why a lot of people, see, they're confused. The people that are trying to get people into the different FEMA camps, for example, there's a whole group of modernistic preachers that have been trained by the government, ready to go, so when the FEMA camp comes, when that ever comes to our country, which is not too far away maybe, they say, all right, you knock on the door of everybody. They say, okay, I want you to come, get into this bus, and go to this wonderful camp. It's a wonderful camp there, FEMA camp. And because it says in the Bible, that every soldier be subject, every soul be subject to the high part. They misinterpret Romans 13, right straight out of this Bible. They say, government says go, you obey them, you get in there and go to FEMA camps, and stay in there forever, locked up. John, and then Anna.
You know, this, our family fathers of this nation were very intelligent men. They were smart.
Yes.
They understood scriptures. They might not have all agreed that Jesus was
right.
The Christ.
Right.
But they revered the holy scriptures. They knew that any righteous government can only be governed by the laws that they found in the scripture.
Mm-hmm.
And you look at these passages, they understood that an unrighteous government you had to have the ability to overthrow that government.
Yes.
They built that into our Constitution.
And they did overcome that unrighteous government of England.
They put it in our Constitution so we can turn over the government, our own government, and turn evil.
That's exactly right.
That's right in there. A lot of people miss that. They're not taught that.
It's like Obama's government. Pro-communist, pro-socialist.
Right.
Horrible. So you get all kinds of things. Diminishing everything imaginable.
We have the right to protest our government.
That's exactly
right. You know, we're obligated to have that.
That's right.
Yeah.
Anna.
What, if the government isn't following the Constitution, then we shouldn't be listening to the government because
right.
The government is in violation of the laws of the land.
Yes.
We follow the law.
The scriptures, yeah.
Well, yes, but I'm saying that they may be breaking the scriptures, but they may. I mean, if the whole scenario which you're proposing would be.
Who's proposing?
You're proposing that is hypothetical for the future.
Go ahead, the scenario. Go ahead. What's the scenario I'm proposing?
You're talking about the FEMA camps.
Right. I'm not proposing. I'm against them.
Well, you're suggesting that this is a future. You're postulating that this is.
You know how many of them are already in existence, open, ready? 1,000. 1,000, right here today.
The Constitution, therefore, that people are saying, oh, you have to follow the government, well, the government isn't following the Constitution, so the government's wrong.
That's right, the government is wrong.
So
in fact, yes, go ahead, Anna. Go ahead, Anna. No. Speak up. Or forever hold your peace. I do.
She's not going to hold her peace.
I know. You know her, don't you? Go ahead, Anna.
The government is supposed to be accountable.
That's right.
To the laws of the land, and if the government, so perhaps the law of the land, if they change the Constitution, then they would have more of an argument for
yes,
their cause.
You're right.
But if they're in clear violation of the Constitution,
right.
They don't have a very good argument.
Not a good argument. Ryan, then Bill.
I don't want to make this a politician thing, but
okay.
When it comes to liberals and like that, like they might want to help people, but they want to help people in the wrong way. They want to
right.
Keep people in that situation. Like
yes.
People have problems, they have disabilities.
Yes.
They want to keep people where they keep make them stay stuck in that position where they're helping them, rather than help them so they can become individually and become responsible themselves. They want to keep them in that spot and keep having to make them depend on teachers and all that, rather than make them be able to become independent.
Mm-hmm.
And they want to add to the scriptures and listen to their feelings and emotions rather than truly what God says.
Right. Yeah, Bill.
and listen to what's
right.
on their mind right now.
Mm-hmm. Be dependent upon them.
Right, Bill.
What I wanted to say was pretty much related to what Ryan was saying. We as people are obligated to be vigilant.
Right.
It's our duty to follow what our elected representatives are doing.
Mm-hmm.
And we are supposed to let them know when they're not doing their job right.
Mm-hmm.
I'll let them know what the will of the people is so that they can perform in accordance with the will of the
right.
people. Now, if we're not going to pay much attention to them, then it's our fault.
Yes. Give you an illustration right today. This is Thursday. President Trump had a second action that he had to keep those people, six different nations, out of here, who especially can't vet the people to see whether they're terrorists or not. As it is, 10%, they say, if those are coming in are terrorists. All you do is push the button and terrorists will be able to kill us and strangle us and cut off our heads. Now, when that went through, he's basing it on the United States law. And he quoted that the other day in one of his messages there in Nashville, Tennessee. He quoted exactly what it is. The president has the power in that jurisdiction to keep out, to protect the people of this country, keep them safe.
Okay.
That's his power. Yet that judge in Hawaii, he said, no, because it's Muslims and everything.
Wow.
So he knocked it out. He's got a point. It's written right down. But they're not following what's written. These judges are just throwing out what's written very clearly. But it's terrible. So that's verse number 3. Rulers, not a terror. God's rulers, really rules, biblical rules, not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Do that which is, be not afraid. Don't be afraid of the power, but thou not be afraid of the power. Do that which is good. Thou shalt have praise of the same. But is that true of our governments today? Do we get praised because we do what was good? A lot of times we're just thrown out of it. It's horrible.
Yes.
All right.
They call us evil.
What is it?
They call us evil.
They call us evil. That's right. I'm going to stop right here if you have other comments. Yeah, go ahead.
So like I was saying, like if people are like poor, or people are homeless, or people like in school, you know, people have problems. Like teachers like that for special ed people or whatever mm-hmm. it is, like they'll get the help. But the thing is, the liberals and all that, they want to keep them in that situation so they stay in that rather than help them so they
right.
can get out and improve and become the people that we're supposed to be and become
right.
independent and live on our own,
mm-hmm.
be able to work, be able to raise children, you know what I mean?
Right.
But the liberals are the complete opposite. And
are all people in this country willing to work? Are they willing to work, all the people in this country?
No.
No. Depend on the government. Give me money. I just make more money on the goals than I can working at a sporting job. A lot of this regular type of a job. Yeah, Hannah.
It's probably somewhat discouraging to a single mother. Maybe it's sometimes the father leaves. A single mother, mm-hmm. his kids, and if she gets penalized if she actually gets a job.
Yes.
And it's just so like if she wants to try and do it in a way that she's not dependent on welfare, a lot
mm-hmm.
of times it's like she's being penalized.
Yes,
right. Yes, very good. Any other comments on these chapters before we close? Was it 10?
It's the people that are in the system that have been in the bureaucracies
mm-hmm.
for all these years that are corrupting it.
Yeah, that's right. All right, if not, John, would you close the word of prayer? Please, sir.
Dear Rich, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time of studying your word that we had together, Lord. We thank you and praise you for Dr. Wade and also today about this church. Lord, we thank you that this is after our church is supposed to take a stand on the authority of your scripture and the inspiration of your scripture, Lord. And we look at it and we know that it is your given word. And without it, Lord, we would have no hope. We would have no way of finding out what your will is and your plan of salvation, Father. You know, there's so many different versions of your word out there. We know they're not really versions, but perversions of your word.
Yes.
That man, Satan has perverted, used man to do it, and fooled many in his plan to take as many humans as he can possibly with him to eternal damnation. And Lord, you know that we know that through your word that salvation is found through the blood of Jesus Christ, which he shed on the cross of Calvary. And it's only through him that we can gain entrance to heaven into your presence, Lord. Lord, we pray that the ministry of the Bible for today's Baptist Church and the Barham Society and similar churches that believe in the same principles that I believe here, Lord, that will continue to proclaim your word throughout the world and to every man and woman and child that we can come across, Lord, to show them that the gospel message is only one way, that your word says, that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, and by his shed blood, and his shed blood only. Lord, we ask that you be with us, part tonight, and go our separate ways, and bring us back together for a time of fellowship and studying your word once again. For those that are online and on the phone that are listening and being edified by your word, Lord, if there's anyone out there that does not know Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior, Lord, we pray tonight that they will come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, Lord. Yes. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you for coming.